All right, so when we left off 2 weeks ago, we were, if you have the Nachon Yerushalayim Minchas Chinuch, we were towards the bottom of the first page. If you have the old-fashioned ones, I think if they only have the osios with the parentheses, then we're still in Aleph. We had seen, for the most part, the topic and the discussion relating to the Androgynous and the Tumtum and the different creatures or people who have either atypical or undefined sexuality, and therefore, since we assume based on Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that you need a boy and a girl, so if we're not sure if this is a boy or a girl or some combination, that became an interesting and complicated discussion. We also discussed, I believe, in Machon Yerushalayim, in the bracketed hay, what happens if you have a child who was born healthy but or seems eventually to be found to be impotent. And we saw another intriguing requirement that the halacha has, that the children that you have, not only are they have to be a boy and a girl, but they have to be what's known as ru'uyim laholi. They have to themselves be at least the ability to procreate. If you take a look at Os Zion, before we get to the main dish of tonight's shir, which is really interesting and perhaps the most famous part of this Minchas Chinuch discussion in Mitzvah Aleph, we're going to get to tonight, Yemir Hashem, but just as a foreshpice, before we get to that, in Os Zion, the Minchas Chinuch tells us something interesting, which I think may relate to a yesod we had discussed last time. Im holid bo ben obas, what if you have a child who's physically, for the most part, healthy, but either is not only impaired with speech and hearing, or just complete, you know, noticeable mental incapacity, is a shota. Nevertheless, says the Minchas Chinuch, kiyem ha-mitzvah. Yotzei the mitzvah. But what intrigues me about this Minchas Chinuch is not that halacha, I don't even know if it's a chiddush so much, but what intrigues me about this is his explanation. And he, tell me what you think, if he's saying one thing or two things, and which one of them is surprising to you. Tehem b'nei mitzvos, t'asr la'achilam b'yadayim dover iser. So number one, first of all, he mentions that they are b'nei mitzvah. Now the truth is he qualifies it himself, because the truth of the matter is that we know a shota, cherish, but even a shota, especially shota, is pater for mitzvos. But he says what that means is that, but they're pater in terms of their own obligation. But we have to. But it's not that we treat them chalila like a non, you know, like someone who's not shaykh to Torah mitzvos. That's what's known as sefia b'yadayim. We're not allowed to feed them non kosher. Oh, good, good, good. You're anticipating where I'm going. Very good. So the bottom line is he uses that just as a litmus test to say, you see that this child is shaykh to mitzvos. That would be my imprecise yeshivish-ism to summarize what he's saying. Is shaykh to mitzvos. Exactly. Sophia, exactly. And again, even when they get an adult, they're not going to be mechuyav in mitzvos. He's obviously anticipating that. He knows that. But nevertheless, you still can't feed them traits. You wouldn't tell them, you know, you wouldn't say, be my Shabbos guy. You know, we treat
them.
Right? Good, good, good. And then a second point, very good, hello, that he adds, and here's, of course, the main difference, ru'uyim laholid. Furthermore, they, you know, have the physical capability of having children. Now, whether they can have the mental stability to have a marriage is maybe a different question. But certainly, biologically speaking, there's no reason to assume that they're any less fertile than anybody else. Okay, Yosef Dechavasuk Mavur Khan, and he quotes the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch who say that. Now, as Hillel, I think, was anticipating or jumping on, I think the Minchas Chinuch is clearly saying how many things? One or two things. How many explanations does he give for why you're Yotze with the Cherish or Shota? Two, right? One is spiritual, religious, and the other is physical. Which one is the surprising one? And this is, I think, what Hill was correctly sensitive to. The first one is the surprising one, right? The whole discussion we had, the last two shiurim, based on Tumtum Androgynous, was all based on this discussion of Ru'uyim Laholid, that the halacha is that you have to have a child who has identifiable sexual characteristics and, as far as we know, functioning ability to have children. So that's an old story. But when did we have this idea of what I'm calling, you know, shayach to mitzvos? Or is he, again, I don't think he's, wouldn't get caught up in a specific detail that he mentions, namely that you can't feed them non-kosher. I think that's just a litmus test. I think, but his point is a larger one, that the Shat Mitzvah. So why do you think I find that striking? Who remembers what we did last time? It was
2 weeks ago.
And I went on vacation, so you guys went on vacation with me, of course. I took you with me.
Well, the point is, a tongue of an androgynous can't eat tripas.
Right.
So you don't have to add anything. They can't eat it themselves. These people might eat it, but be part of because she's a baby shirt of cotton. So therefore, you have to say, Osala Achilo.
Good. My question, you're right, but my question is, why is that relevant to whether you fulfill the mitzvah of Prut Revu? So what I'm getting at is a point that we stressed last time. Namely, that there seem to be numerous indications, and perhaps maybe no one of them mukhruch entirely, but you know, the more possible implications you have, the sum total of those sometimes becomes quite compelling. And that is that we seem to have a notion, again, I think correct, again, feel free to disagree with me, this is my own ha'ara in the Minchas Chinuch, but I think this is another example to put on the list of rayas, or at least evidence, that the mitzvah of Prut Revu is not purely biological, of having children, with the attendant Tanoim, that the child be ability to have procreate, etc. Those are all still physical characteristics and a physical mitzvah. What we suggested last time was that there was a notion that there was an idea of chinuch, idea of transmitting the Mesorah. It's not just having children, the shame having children. It's having children to perpetuate the Mesorah. We mentioned the Tosus of Baba Basra that spoke about a Havamina that would be no mitzvah puruvu after the Chorban. It's a very difficult Havamina. I mentioned to you the great Chiddush, at least as a suggestion, in the name of Nissen Alpert, who suggested that perhaps under communist Russia, people were putter from Prut Revu, which again only makes sense even as a suggestion if you assume it's because if you can't raise a child with any frumkeit, so maybe you'd go so far as to say there's no chiyuv to have children. So here also there seems to be this duality. It's not just, if it would just be the cheresh Yisrael laholid, that who said that'd be enough? No, it's because they're shy. You might have said, again, I hope I'm not reading too much into this, you know, what am I going to do with this child? Am I going to educate the child? He's not going to go to chinuch, you know, he's not going to make a nice pshat with his bar mitzvah. You know, what am I going to do with this child? And the answer is no. Okay, so he's not going to be the top of the shir. But the bottom line is, there's on some level, you have a religious obligations to transmit to them, and perhaps they have even a capability on some level, capacity to live out those religious obligations even as adults. But certainly, since we relate to them in a religious context, we have to feed them kosher. We can't mechal Shabbos for them, etc., etc. So that, I think what he's getting at is that meets the second requirement of making the child potentially... No, because again, the child. Well, first of all, that's true, and again, your obligations are your obligations. You have to teach. What I guess maybe a different way of putting the question is: what if you didn't teach the child at all? So if you did what you had to do, so to speak, you taught them, and they went off the derech, that would be obviously much harder to imagine. But I guess, again, I don't know.
If it's the same thing. If you have a child, you did your job, you brought a child to the world.
And then it turns out, that's true, okay, that's fair enough. That's fair. So I guess what I'm suggesting, again, and this is my own suggestion, is that I would assume that this one is a little bit, I don't know if the right word is elastic or not. Because you're right. Didi's making a fair point. As we'll see, perhaps, depending on how far we get again tonight, when it comes to the physical requirements... Of having, we and not only do we know, obviously it's not your fault if they can't procreate, but more than that, we know that, as we've seen before, and we'll see it again, the tragedy of you only have two children, a boy and a girl, and then one of them predeceases you. So you thought for 25 years, well, you don't say the mitzvah peruvu. But then the son Nebuch dies, Gemara says, Beferish Gemara, we paskin this way, we've seen it already, retroactively, you weren't Yotzei. So certainly so that's a fair point, Didi, that's a fair...
You know what this comes to exclude... Somebody whose wife is not Jewish.
That's it, exactly.
In other words, somebody whose wife is not Jewish. The kid is a biological kid, but the kid is not Jewish. Therefore, you're not Yotzei.
Right. So that idea a little bit is what we're going to be getting. We are going to be getting to that. Because part of the issue is whether the child has to be mizyaches after his father. We're about to get to that. Hold.
If you're highlighted a non-Jew.
That could very well be, and in fact, that's the next topic we're getting to.
Okay.
That's the next. So I just saw this ha'ara. Again, not to read too much into it, but again, it struck me that the Minhag HaChinuch give two reasons, and I think it relates perhaps to the discussion we had. So sure enough, os ches in the new fancy Minhag HaChinuch, or the next paragraph, for those of you who yet haven't taken my advice and bought the new ones. And that is Dibur Masel V'Gam. Says the Menachas Chinuch, and now this is a very, very interesting and very, very famous discussion that he has. V'Gam, Im Holid Mamzer, Kiyem HaMitzvah. Says the Menachas Chinuch, if you have a child who's a mamzer, nevertheless, you fulfill the mitzvah. V'nira midivrei hagoz harama b'shem harashba, the footnote say maybe it's a ritzvah. V'yavomis, the sosam adover, he says it straight out. The lav dafki mahayilo mamzer beheter. There are rare scenarios where one could have a child where you did nothing wrong, but the result is still a mamzer. And you might have thought, oh, maybe that's what we mean when we say you can do puruvu as a mamzer. But says Mechassinach, no, because they wrote it pastama, we wouldn't limit it to that. What would be an example of how that would happen? Kigon ger, shemuter lisa mamzeres, kimavur b'gemara kedushin, kav samach tes, evan ezer simendalad, sivchav beiz, b'holi mero mamzer, right? A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, but the children would nevertheless be mamzer. It's not usher, but the status of mamzer would follow from the mother. So that's true, but says the Minchas Chinuch, that's not the Chiddush here. The Chiddush is the next point. El afilu nolad v'iser. Kigo shabal mamzeres, el chayvei krisis v'holid. Yikamokum kiyem ha-mitzvah ki benohu. Chol davar. Right? There's two ways that you could do something wrong and produce a mamzer. The more severe one is if you consort with somebody who is a chayvei misos, a chayvei krisis to you. So, for example, somebody... Right, there's a certain, it would have to be right, biblically. Let's say you have a married woman who has an affair, the product of that is a mamzer. So that's one possibility. So let's say the man produces one child from his nice wife, and then he has an illegitimate child with a married woman. So that child's a mamzer. Says the Menachas Chinuch, that would be an example where he has his boy and his girl, one of them is a mamzer, you're still yotzei the mitzvah. Or something that's less severe, but still usher, is let's say this child who is a mamzeres. So we know it's a tremendous tragedy, but if she's a mamzeres, she's usher lavo l'kohol, or if it's a mamzer, he's usher lavo l'kohol. So, but let's take the mamzeres. So you marry a mamzeres. You went to college and you fell in love with this wonderful woman, and she was a tzlu, and she was wonderful. But no, never one problem. She's a mamzeres. And they went to the batei din and the rabbanim, and they looked high and they looked low. They couldn't find any kulas. They couldn't be matir her. But what could you do? The love was too strong, he couldn't resist, and he marries her anyway, and then he has a child. That's also an aveira. It's not as severe as an adultery, but it's still an aveira. And the product of that, because she is a mamzeres, the child is also a mamzeres.
Is the
mitzvah of the... That's where we're about to get to. That's the bulk of tonight's year. But let's just get the basic facts before we start with the razzle-dazzle. So the Minchas Chinuch says that clearly there's this Ritva / Rashba that the Beis Yosef quotes, that the Ramah quotes. That's what he's saying. That's the Chiddush here. That even though you did a Bia V'Isser, nevertheless, the result can be a Mitzvah Daraisa. Which, if you think about it, is pretty novel. Now, where does he... Once again, the language that he chooses is always very important to be Medayken. What is his language here? Ki b'no hu l'chol dover. And I would suggest that what he's stressing here is a point that I telegraphed a few minutes ago, Alan, in response to you, and that is it's clear that in Halacha, the Minchas Chinuch will make a big deal about this in a few other places, and that is that you need yichus. If you could imagine a scenario in which you sired a child, but there was no yichus between the father and the child... Then, even though biologically every other tanai is met, but if you don't have a yichus, this is my son with halachic significance, Yerusha, etc., etc. There's no halachic yichus, so then you would not fulfill the mitzvah. But Kamash Malan says, even though the child's a mamzer, which is a nebuch, and it's a tragedy, and the father did an aveira, all true. But sof kol sof, b'nohu l'chol davar. B'nohu l'chol davar. There is yichus. How does he know this? Let's see his raya. What's the case there? Etc. The case is talking about which people in certain atypical scenarios might be putter from Yibum. I mean, if it's a normal case, like you have a child, then that's obvious you're putter from Yibum. But these are atypical scenarios which nevertheless, despite whatever is unique about them, nevertheless you're putter from Yibum. And what was one of the cases? What's the example? The Lashon of the Mishnah seems to be a certain case, talking about a mamzer, and then the Mishnah, or at least the Yerushalmi, says about it, Ubenohu l'chol davar. Now that, it's not so clear in the Minchas Chanukah. I looked this up, so you'll feel free to take a look at it yourself, or for now you just have to take my word for it. In the Bavli, that's all it says. It's a little bit vague. Ubeno hu l'chol davar. The Shaila is, what did that mean? But if it's, so the Ritva said, if you take a look in the Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi doesn't make you guess. Yerushalmi tells you, what's the chiddush of beno hu l'chol? Yes, you fulfill pur revu by having, you avoid the need for Yibam, the Nebuch, right, imagine this. This is like, I don't know, a cruel irony for the wife. Her husband dies. They were childless as a couple, so she thinks she's nafel slibum. Then she finds out that really her husband wasn't the great guy she thought he was. He really had an affair with the neighbor, who's also married, and there's a child who happens to be a mamzer who was produced. So that's the new definition of mixed emotions. And she doesn't have to worry about the brother-in-law and chalitza and all the mess that could be. On the other hand, she now finds out that her husband sired a mamzer. So in that case, the Mishnah says she is pater from Yibum, because, and the brothers are pater from Yavner, however, whatever perspective you want to take, because the dead man had sired a mamzer. So that's enough. That's a chiddush. The Mishnah tells us that, fine. But the Mishnah adds this phrase to closely justify the psak, ubenohu, Nebuch, it's a mamzer, but ubenohu l'chol davar. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi adds a line, to explain what's the need for that extra PS, ubenohu l'chol davar. Why would you think otherwise? Says the Yerushalmi here beferish, and the Minchas Chinuch kind of, it makes it a little bit of a run-on, but this, just to be precise, is really the language of Yerushalmi, ubenohu l'chol davar. You should think again, we have to believe that this person will get his just deserts in Shemayim for this serious Avera that he did. But Lamaisa, the Avera on the one hand helped his wife avoid the need for Yibam. And number two is, he himself, assuming that he had any other child, that child, this quote-unquote love child, would this illegitimate child, would count towards the fulfillment of Puruvu.
Because that qualifies for Lahakim Shame, I think.
That's what he means, but exactly. I'm saying that Yibum is the Lahakim Shame,
right.
And the Yerushalmi adds, based on the lashon of the Mishnah, Ben Ulachal Davar, Afil Peruvia. Again, and you could understand this. We'll ask on it in a second. You'll say, but just internally or in isolation, it makes sense. It's l'chor, it's all or nothing. If you assume that it's really his child, then it makes sense that it's a domino. Just like she'll be potter from Yibum, so too he'll fulfill Peruvu. Whatever the other factors are, once you assume that there is this yichus, so then memela, whatever halachos are tully in that, will be affected. And clearly, both yibum and pru ovu are affected by that.
It's quite a difference. A mamzer can marry a gioris, right?
You could just say
that the status of the child then would be the status of the woman. So that is.
That's not the case. That's the case. Precisely, it's not the case he was talking about.
I understand, but that's a way for a mamzer to sort of indirectly come back into the country.
No. First of all, it's usher. The marriage is usher. That's number one. No, I'm sorry. The ger is. I believe that you're in. But I think there would still be a mamzer. I think as long as there's any... I'm saying mamzer passes from either parent. I believe that mamzer passes either way. That's number one. How to quote unquote get around it? We're going to get to it. It's a famous mishnah at the end of the third or fourth parak of Kiddushin. Yeah, it's a famous mishnah. I mean Tarfin. And I was told, I don't know if they actually did it, but at least there was once a famous mamzer case which they couldn't find any other heterim for, and they were. I was told that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe Feinstein collaborated, at least in theory. No one knows if they really did it or not, but the Talmud know that they talked about. I was going back 30, 40 years about doing that Rabbi Tarfin trick, but we'll get to that hopefully. Anyway, so back to the Minchas Chinuch. Kosef HaRitva, he says, Perish. Again, just explaining now what's explicit, basically, in that Yerushalmi. That filuba men mamzer yasa peruvia ad kalashon of the Beis Yosef. So you see from this, that's Minchas Chinuch. I'm not giving you any chidushim. I'm just a malachi, and I'm telling you what it says in Beis Yosef from a ritva, from a Yerushalmi and Yevamos, that if you can fulfill yibum through the mamzer, so mamela you're going to fulfill peruvu because it's all the same idea. Benohu l'chol davar. Mishnah de benohu l'chol davar, that context, that Mishnah, as we said, hulinian liftoras ishes aviv me yibum, that was by yibum, umayri afil babal erva viser, and that was talking about a case, even if he was really over a terrible isser, Ayin Shem B'Gemara. And how do we know that? Because again, maybe you'll think that it's one of the more innocuous cases which produced a mamzer, not necessarily an isser kares. But we know that from the continuation of the Gemara in Yevamos that asked the Kasha, the Machshal Ma Dechayv Al Makoso, because the Gemara there says, what if this mamzer, let us, again, before the father died and we got into the Yivam Shaila, but let's say the child, the mamzer, goes to Cheder one day, figures out, I'm a mamzer, and looks at his father and can't believe what his father did to him. So he comes home and in a fit of rage, punches the father in the nose. So the Gemara says the mamzer's chayiv karis. Nebuch, this kid is going to get bounced a second time because it's a chayiv. We all know it's a pasuk in the chumash. It's an iser daraisa chayiv misa to attack and wound the father or mother. And the Gemara says that that applies to the mamzer also. So based, that's a fact that the Gemara says. In fact, the Gemara, based on that, the Gemara asks, why? But the father's a Russia. Again, this is, we're not doing this Kibar Aveim now, but it's a famous sugi in Kibar Aveim, and Taka Halacha L'maisa Tamachlokas Rishonim Naman versus Tur. Leave aside the definition of Russia, Russia was Manazeh, and all the other technicalities. But fundamentally, if we were, you know, in the time of the Gemara, and we could really, you know, we had an Elisha ben Avuya, we had a real, true, hardcore, pure Russia, were his children chayiv in Kibar Aveim? That's a machlokas Rishonim that comes out of this Gemara, which is not our topic. If we'll get to Kibar Aveim, eventually we'll discuss it. We'll discuss that mitzvah chaf, whatever that is, in Parshas Yisro. But Lamaisa, what are the Minchas Chinuch using it for? The very fact that the Gemara asked that question assumes we're dealing with the father who's a Rasha, and we're not assuming it's because he talked to him for an Esrei or something like that. We mean because he's a Rasha because he, what's it called? Because he produced this child in a terrible way. And that's clear from that Gemara. Fachi paskinen de b'no l'chol davar. And again, if you take a look in Yardea, which is Hilchos Kibud Aveim, we paskin that this is the child l'chol davar who had din l'pir v'rivya. Even though the father clearly did a terrible avera, he did a maisa that's either a chayv kareis, chayv misa b'yishter, other maybe. Nevertheless, b'no l'chol davar, and therefore Yibam works, and therefore not needed, and therefore purvu is fulfilled. So Ad Kan, everything now is a deep breath. All of that was his basic explication slash defense of what so far was straightforward. The Ritva just teasing out from what seemed to be an explicit Gemara. It's a little bit shocking at first to think about it. You could get a mitzvah points for such a terrible avera, but no, sometimes life has these quirks, and says the Ritva, says the Minchas Chinuch, that's what you see. He's showing, he was using that to show that we're even talking about someone who produced a child as a mamzer through the avera of an Isser Kares, or an Isser Misa.
So that child is
not just an Isser Lav, like I married a mamzeris.
That's what I'm saying. So that being on that type of caliber, still the son cannot go and hit.
Correct. But the point, what's relevant for us is not whether the child hit or not, although that, as I said, that's a machlokas. But the point is, but the fact that the Gemara asked the question, the fact that the Gemara asked the question proves that we're dealing with a Rasha, the father, i.e. not someone who did some minor league avera, but he stepped up to the majors for this avera to produce this mamzer. And nevertheless, that's the sugya that said, b'no l'chol davar, and according to Yerushalmi, peruvu. So you see from this, the upshot of this, based on the Ritva, the Minchas Chinuch seems to say it's straightforward, is that a child, the product of a terrible avera and illicit relationship, nevertheless could still fulfill the Purim.
Maybe one has nothing to do with the other. You can be somebody's father without being Mekayim Mitzvah Purvu. Maybe to Mekayim Mitzvah Purvu, you can't do it on Yedei Avera.
Hold on. Good.
He can still be your father.
But, so that's not clearly the Ritva, and at least this point, the Minchas Chinuch. However, next line. Ach, but this should be, you know, if it be in English, it'd be we'd be bold. If this was a Microsoft Word, we'd be bolding that but. Ach, but Harif, Harambam, Harosh, Lois Kiro Mir Yerushalmi Azed, Afilu Beno Mamzer Kiram Puri Rivia. They don't say you're not, but this Yerushalmi, which seems to be explicit, and the Ritva quotes it, but all the other Rishonim don't quote it. Minchas Chinuch is troubled by that.
Yeah, we're not talking just these Ikaris. Let's say Yerushalmi.
This is a terrible avera. I said more than once. Maybe be the other. So now comes along the famous part, and this is what Yosef anticipated 10 minutes ago. Ze zman kvar. Excuse me. Says Minchas Chinuch, I've long been bothered. The lomo yotze yidei chova. How could he fulfill this mitzvah? Halo have mitzvah hababa avera. We have a klal that you don't fulfill mitzvah baba avera. It's puzzle. You take the lulav from a lulav hagazel. You shake your lulav hagazel. You're not yotze even on Yom Tov Rosheni. Why? Mitzvah avera. Here there's ain avera gadol mizu. And nevertheless, you're saying he fulfilled his mitzvah. And after all, adas harbe rishonim mitzvah hababa avera min haTorah ena yotzei. And even if you'll tell me, okay, there is a tosfos, you could dig up an infamous tosfos in Sukkah Dates that says al kalpanim mirabbanan ena yotzei. So the tosfos says, okay, maybe midaraisa you fulfill your mitzvah lulav, but mirabbanan we said you didn't fulfill it. Okay, that's a minor detail, but even so, that's important. Most rishonim assume the mitzvah avera is null and void even on a daraisa level. So how could it be? How could it be? Vatzvar Matikin. This is a famous sugya. It's not like the Minchas Chinuch is not like I just discovered America. I mean, this is Mitzvah Bavera. We all know this. How could it be? So says the Minchas Chinuch. V'yishavti al pi svaras ha'achronim. Says the Minchas Chinuch. I wanted to answer based on the following yisod from the Achronim, which appears among other places in Ashar HaMelech, which is a commentary on the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav. Namely, the mitzvah haba ba'avera lo hava ela im b'shas mitzvah osegam kein avera. Mitzvah ba'avera, says the Shara Melech, is only if it's simultaneous.
So when is the kalos of the mitzvah?
Good. Easy. We'll get to it. Good. The be'esrog ha'gozul b'shas ha'netilo over alalah v'heshev esagzela. Right? When I pick up the lulav and the esrog to shake, that itself is an isr gzela. And that's why that's the classic example in the Gemara Sukkah of a mitzvah baba avera. Avalim b'shas ha-mitzvah lek avera klal. Let's imagine another lulav or another esrog which had a terrible avera attached to it, but it wasn't simultaneously being transgressed at the time of the mitzvah. For example, kigon b'hotzi matzah mirashus ha-yachid l'rashus ha-rabim. Let's say you got the matzah from Baltimore, from Brooklyn, and it was the charedim matzah, which tastes good. It's very thin. If you like thin matzah, buy charedim matzah. But the problem is, when it gets shipped to Baltimore, it's in 14 pieces. So you look and you look and you look, and maybe the first Seder you found a little bit of matzah, but you couldn't find anything else. And now let's say the second day is a Shabbos, and instead, you were so worried about the matzah, you forgot there was no Erev, and you carried Mamish Talanamas, which was a Rabbim, or you carried which was a Rabbim, which was a Yachid. You were over Isra Daraisa of Chil Shabbos in order to get this matzah. But Lamaisa, now that the matzah is in your house, there's no more Avera. You did the Avera, Nebuch. Right after that Seder, then we're going to take you out and give you Skila for Chil Shabbos. What's the difference? But let's assume it was amazing. I'm just, don't be too medaic in my theatric examples. The bottom line is, you did it, let's assume you did it amazing. You did it amazing. Lamaisa, though, I did it 10 minutes, an hour, 2 days before. Lamaisa, I'm sitting in my living room, and now I'm eating matzah mitzvah. What's that avera got to do with it? That avera was in the past. Which is the time you're eating the matzah, lek avera klal. Lo hava mitzvah baba avera, says the Shara Melech. That's not mitzvah baba avera. No, when you pick up the lulav and esrog every time you use, that's an isser. It's impossible because when you pick up the lulav, forget the fact that I took it out of his house. Avada, that's an avera. But now it's sitting in my house. Still, by me using that esrog, that's zela.
If I steal it, I take it to my house, I steal it, I have no kavana to be used. Is it night or?
It's got nothing to do with the mitzvah then. 100%, you're right.
Have an aspect of
what I'm trying to say is when that esrog is stolen property. Alan, and the fact that I'm not returning it. No, when I'm being Yotzei.
You pick it up, you still have a chiyuv.
When I'm being Yotzei with the talus over my head, with my gatel, with the hinimuchon mezumin, with the ala bitchishkevs. At that moment, I'm doing an avera. I'm not returning it to him, I'm using it. That itself is an avera of zela.
Oh, behesha.
Either way, I don't know if it was Miyash, but even if, maybe, I'm not sure. I think maybe every time you use it, you may get another kanak. But if it makes it easier for you to understand, good. Let's focus on Beheshiv, which is yes.
That's not a very
good
one to say.
That's also an avera. Well, that's why I think. I would not be medayik. I think it means even it's a little sigzel. Then, frankly, you're not allowed to use it. It's not yours. I know. I'm assuming that it's not meduyik. But fair enough. Either way, the bottom line is, you see, there's a fundamental difference. When I use it, it's inappropriate. Either it's inappropriate because I'm still not allowed to use it, either it's inappropriate because I'm supposed to be returning it then. When I'm using the Lulav and Esrog, so at the moment I'm shaking it with all my holy kavanas, with the spheros and everything else, that itself is an Ivera. So that's what Zvav Avera says, the Shara Melech, says the Minchas Chinuch. But if I had done nothing, I didn't steal this Lulav and Esrog. I took it from Rishus HaRabim. Or the matzah, to take a Pesach example. Says Minchas Chinuch, that's a terrible Avera. Chil Shabbos is worse than Gezeva. When I said a question of better and worse, that's even worse. It's a question of sequence. It's not at the same time. It happened before, not at the same time. And therefore, getting back to our case now, now we bring it home. Right? We reeled it in, now we got, you know, we cast our line, now we got to reel it in. In Kain Hachanami. It's true that you did in a terrible avera of bias iser to have these children. It's the result. Right? They haven't figured out a way, although notwithstanding modern technology, but they haven't figured out a way. The way you have children is through this bila. But that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not the bia. The mitzvah is the result of having children. How do I know this? Says the Minchas Chinuch b'haraya. The imlo holid. What if they can't have children? Or v'chein imesu abanim. Or nebuch the children die. Lo kiyim hamitzvah. V'chein ikra kiyim hamitzvah heim abanim. Which is a chiddush, but it's a chiddush within the assumption that it's the children, the result. Now we see it's a very demanding result. Not just having the children, but having children who can procreate, who don't predecease you. But it's still, the focus is on the result, having the children. Ube'esazos, when the children are alive, well and good. Lek avera klal. There's no avera. The avera happened, years before in a motel. There's no avera now. The avera was well before that. Taverik Parnassus b'shas b'ila. That's similar, says the Minchas Chinuch. Domi lahotzi matzim rishus hayachil rishus harabim to lo have mitzvah baba avera v'advar maruchim b'dini mitzvah baba avera v'en kam makomo. So he says, I can spend all day giving you rides back and forth, but this is the basic yisod. The basic yisod from the Shara Melech is that mitzvah baba avera only is a psul if the avera is simultaneous with the mitzvah. That is the classic example of geneva, but a simple contrast is chil Shabbos hotzah, and if you have those two as models of paradigms, which one does Puruvu fit in? Says the Minchas Chinuch, it clearly fits into the one of Chil Shabbos of Matzah, not of the Gzela of Dalad Minim. Now we're not going to just accept this, don't worry. But before we go further, any questions?
What's the nature of Puruvu that's now going Mitzvah retroactively?
Good question. I think part of it has to do with the Chinuch, that's what we've been talking about. But more than that, I'm not sure, other than it just seems to be a fact. Again, it's a chiddush. We spoke about this the first time I think we got together, but it's an incontrovertible chiddush. In other words, again, take the most famous example, the tragic case of the child dying. Mara says, you're not Yotze. It could be 30 years later. It could be 50 years later. Right? Yeah, I mean, Nebuch, every now and then you hear about these cases, an 80-year-old Bobby, bearing her 60-year-old son. So 60 years, they thought they had a mitzvah. Okay? I'm not minimizing the pain, but in our halakhic laboratory, it's black and white.
So each year, you get credit for a mitzvah.
It's hard to know how to find it.
Totally.
Yes, it's very hard. Yes, yes. This is,
take it back.
As we're going to get to, probably not tonight.
Doesn't get credit until they die and their children are alive.
Right, that's right. It's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly. But to borrow a line from the Minchas Chinuch in the next column, he basically, I'll just give you a one-liner, which is, he makes the point. He says, where is it? Give me one second, please, Seymour. One second, please. The Chal Haim Shomei Alav?
No.
You respect Chaim.
Second.
No, just a one-liner, just for now, just to pluck it out, just to make the point really to David and really all of your points. If you look in Osia Dalit in the fancy Minchas Chinuch, he has a line where he says, "Nira ba'olil de mitzvah zu einu kishar mitzvahs." One thing is clear: this is not a typical mitzvah, and that's the bottom line. We see all sorts of anomalies here. Yeah.
But the conclusion that he draws from the fact that you could have the bia without being yotzei, but quite. According to his according to that idea that the fee is not a necessary part.
Well, it is a necessary part, but it's not the mitzvah itself. It's a hetzer mitzvah. Like building the sukkah.
You should be able to be yotzi it by not having fee at all. I mean, it's absolutely...
Well, in theory, we've spoken about that in the past. That's the IVF question. And Hanami, I haven't come out on either side on that, but I just mentioned to you that's a huge machlokas in contemporary poskim, and this svara certainly goes to the point of saying that you should be yotze with IVF 100% because it's not how you get there; it's the result that you got to. I'm not disagreeing.
So retroactively, when the guy dies, and then his kids live and they die. So retroactively, he's mekayem pur removed from the time that the kid
was born.
Born from the second the kid was born.
I think so. Yeah.
You know what's strange about this? Gives an answer to somebody. Let's say he and his wife can't have children. He goes to wipe the stove. I'll have this with an
extra
six.
I'll have
a Mekayim
for a
move.
Yeah, but
you'll
be
a Mekayim
Misa.
Why do you have to go for Mekayim? I don't know you want to be Mekayim. I can get somebody who's not married.
I wouldn't call that an Eitza. I would call that a Yitzhak. If you were the lawyer of that person, you were giving them legal advice, you'd be sued for malpractice with that kind of advice.
That's what the guy
is this related to when we have a Gemara on Kedushin Shir, whether Kedushin is...
Yes, definitely related. Let's go a little further.
What happens to this kid? So, the 30 years that they're alive, they're doing mitzvahs, they're part of Minyanim, they're doing whatever they're doing.
Members of Shomrei.
That's nothing. Not the bad members of Shomrei. I say,
what do you mean it's nothing?
At the beginning, we said that the reason why you do Purim is because the world wasn't created to sit there empty. Right?
Yeah, good. So
someone has a kid, and the kid lives for 40 years.
And then what?
And he does everything. He's evolved, he's, you know.
He dies at 40. So here's the chop, which we didn't get to, which we have we seen yet? I don't think we have. We're going to get to it. Is if he predeceases, but he had children himself. Yeah. And if there's a grandson,
let's say he didn't.
So he lived to 30 or 40, he didn't have any of his own children, and then he passes away.
Yeah.
And his parents is 80, his father is 75 years old, and Boca, he's still alive.
He's done until then. He's been in the world. The world was, you know, he was filling the purpose when he was there.
In economy.
You're asking how God is going to judge us.
Exactly. I've said this before. I think it's just.
I'm hoping for a pass. People that can't have a boy and a girl.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. There are many people. Yeah. Right. Listen, I know a family with five girls and a family with eight boys. 100%. Right. Okay. Good.
Rashi had
daughters.
Rashi had three daughters.
There you go. You're one short, Alan. You could be Rashi. We already have a Rashi bomb in the shul. We need a Rashi. Okay. Let's go a little further, and we'll see another possibility of this. Let's just go to Ostes in Minchas Chinuch, and then I'll give you some other Torah outside because this is really famous stuff. A lot has been written on this. Acher Zman a little later says the Minchas Chinuch Nidfas Michadash. I always love when they speak in contemporaneous terms, you know, like the excitement that the Minchas Chinuch got. He went to Shabbos and he heard a new sefer, the Marid Al Gazi, the famous Marid Al Gazi, which we've just used a little bit in the Shemitah Shir. He wrote a commentary both on Bechoros and on Masechta Chala. It's in the back in the Vilna Shas. It's in the back of Bechoros, and you have it there. The Ramban wrote a Hilchos Chala, Hilchos Bechoros, and the Ma'arid El Gazi wrote this. You know, you would need like a magnifying glass this big to look at it. So Baruch Hashem, I'm not sure how many years ago it was, but two people, I think one of them, I don't want to get the names wrong, at least one of them is the son of one of the famous Gedolei Hador. I can't remember if it's the child of Rav Shlomo Zalman, the child of Rav Avi Yosef. Somebody, one of them, anyway, two very chashuv, a younger Talmid Chachamim, went together, and they put together this for the Minchas Chinuch, for the Ma'arid Al Gazi. It's big, with fancy type, and you can read it, and footnotes up to here, actually even more footnotes than this, footnotes, I mean, there's like a whole chabura in each footnote. Unbelievable, two-volume set, which I have. So the Mamisha made to the extent that people learn it, which is not so common to begin with, but at least now, if you need to learn it, it's an accessible safer. So, the Ma'arid Al Gazi says, Minchas Chinuch, he's very excited, he has a discussion of this. Umatzasi Shehair Bezeh, and the Ma'arid Al Gazi suggests, he quotes a Radvaz and the Chuvis, Yuvinsham Perach, the Bechoros Perak Daf Peites or Os Samachay, that's in the new ones, Os Samachay, that they quotes this. And what does the Radvaz do? The Radvaz may be a Yerushalmi, not the Yerushalmi we saw until now in Yavamis, a Yerushalmi in Masechta Shabbos, Perak Yud Gimel, the Matzah Ukriya. What's that case? Let's take the case of Kriya. The case is if someone finds out that their relative died on Shabbos and they tear Kriya. Now, Kriya Kareha Zalav Malacha. And Yerushalmi says, your Yotze, your mitzvah's Kriya. Even though we're going to take you out back. It's still, you still have... You mean, oh, you mean because I don't have to look for her.
Right, yeah.
Okay, good. So that, Lamaisa, that's what the...
Huh?
If you're tearing, you did Kriya on Shabbos.
Okay.
You did it for the mitzvah of what's it called? Of Kriya, of Elos. So the Yerushalmi says that you were Yotze, your mitzvah of Kriya.
Even though you did
a Chil Shabbos. Was it Chil Shabbos Rabbanon, Chil Shabbos Raisa? Right, or a similar type case with the matzah, and we've already seen the similar type case with matzah with the inside and the outside. Below nachas l'mashak asavman. If you take a look at the Mari Elgazi, it's a very long discussion. He doesn't seem to like our chiluk. Ayin sham shar hamelach shechilik gamkein einu bara be'enav. Also, not so clear. It's a complicated discussion. What we were saying a minute ago was straight, not so simple on these acronym. Mari Elgazi sham daito. The Alkane, Hishmitu Arif, Haramam, Hayrushalmi Hazeh, Shebere Shos. And we mentioned at the end of the previous paragraph, even though the Ritzva quoted this Yerushalmi Yevamis of Beno Lechol Dover, Afilu Puravu, we mentioned that a number of other Rishonim don't quote that Yerushalmi. So the Maharil Ghazi says, you know why? The MS Eino Yotze. Because they argue on everything we've been saying the last 20 minutes. Bishum the mitzvah haBaba Avera, because they taka disagree with Yerushalmi, and they hold that Beno Mamzer, yes, it's Beno maybe for Yibum, but you do not puzzle Puravu that way. But didn't Yerushalmi seem to say it? So they get out of it. They say HaYerushalmi Meir Baonis. So it's talking about a case. I'm not exactly sure what Puravu Baonis is. It doesn't mean rape. It means bonus, like, you know, Mamzer, not even shogeg, but an onus. I'm not sure what an onus for my Sevilla would be. I'm not sure, but maybe fell off the roof. Okay, whatever the case may be, but they say, but Haraya, as they point out, the Ein Avera Klal, the Hengushmidu Davrzad, the Humilzad Lo Shliach. Right, whichever one of your versions is correct, it ain't common. And therefore, they didn't feel the need to mention that, yes, if you fulfill Puravu via a Mamzer Ba'onis, you're Yotze. Right? That's a one in a million, so they didn't quote it. But the more common case of an illicit affair producing a Mamzer, which the Ritzvah had a Yerushalmi that said you're Yotze, they taka reject that. They don't think that's what Pshat Yerushalmi is. And Lahalocha Lamaisa, the Arid Al-Ghazi, at least suggests, again, we don't know for sure that those Rishonim don't hold of it. But we know the Arid Al-Ghazi himself certainly seems to reject it, and he suggests that those Rishonim reject it as well. Before we get to some of the other stuff that I want to mention to you, let's just do one more paragraph, which is an aside. So even though the Mincha Sinach himself seems to hold stark in his definition of mitzvah of Avera, and therefore you should fulfill the mitzvah, he ends on a distressed note. Ubalav hachi tzarki and gadol. But after all that, I still have one problem. Eich yotzei necha vasa kazeh shemar bepsulim b'Yisrael. You know, is this a good thing or a bad thing? To produce mamzerim is not a good thing. You're marbe psulim. That filu ba al hagiores have a havlad mamzer. Seymour. La maisa, even if there's no aveira in the bia, there still could be the product of.
But eventually they can get out of being a mamzer, no?
Not simple. Unless you do the trick. That's the Rabbi Tarfon Shem.
Maybe.
But Lamaisa, this is what he says. Yeah, very, very dim light. Very dim light. But din psule kohol mamzer v'hadome. In all these cases where you have someone who is osur lovo l'kol, i.e. they can't marry into a typical Jew, im chivim mitzvah asay de puravu. He's not so poshut that this is a good thing. V'im yisa ha-mamzer shivcha. Oh, the trick. Let's say the mamzer will marry a shivcha. Yehei, ahavlad eved. Ubasar didaz lina vloit yaches achar of klal. It's true that that child, when they free the shivcha, that's the way you launder mamzerim in klal. So we don't launder money, but we can launder mamzerim. But there's one problem. Yes, it's true. And again, maybe this would be the selfless love of a father. Maybe he would do it. But lamaisa, it would be a great personal sacrifice because he would no longer have a yichus. Whereas if you do that, then yes, when the child becomes maguyer, you lose being a mamzer, but you also lose a halachic relationship to the father.
And therefore what?
Lose that. So therefore the father can't say he fulfills puravu that way.
Because it's like,
yes, gerkot and anola dummy. But Lamaisa, he seems to be bothered by the almost what I call.
I mean, do you mean if he punches him in the face?
I think so. Yeah, Lamaisa, if you have a ger, I think that would be the case. I think so. Be'enu b'no l'shom davar. It's not true. And therefore, but again, that seems to me, in my own read of this paragraph, that's almost incidental. His first point, which was his main point, was almost like a quasi moral concern. It's not the right thing to do. It's not good halachic policy. It's not good public policy. Right? It would go against Das Torah. Why would you forget Osir Mutter? We want to be Marbim Mamzerim. It's not a good thing. And therefore, M.K. and Sarachian. Ma'od, it's very difficult. Eich yotzei dechova b'vlad mamzer l'harbos mamzerim v'Yisrael. Now, he doesn't answer that, and he doesn't come back.
A little bit of a tough conscience.
Yeah, I'm not, it's not
you're
a strictly halachic.
You're not being marbe, the way he's making it is as if we're encouraging you to do it. We're not.
People like Seymour who advocate that.
Yeah.
The wife can't give birth.
Right.
I don't know. What I think he's arguing for, which, but I agree with you, it's not light and it's not strictly halachic either, is Lamashal. I know somebody who's actually in certain circles relatively well known, who intentionally chose to remain a bachelor because there was a certain genetic disease in his family. And he wanted, it's stopping here. I'm not carrying it on. So imagine, al derech mashal, this mamzerus is like a virus, is like a genetic, it is genetic, you know. So he's almost advocating, you know what, if all the mamzerim would just say, you know, we could wipe it, at least for one generation, we could wipe it out if they didn't reproduce. Then it would end there. By you marrying this person or having a child through this person, you're being marred by mamzerim, which could have been avoided. That's how I read it. But I agree with you. First of all, it's a little bit harsh.
What does that have to do with whether it's proof?
Right. And the second thing I was going to say, exactly what Michael just said, is, and it's not a strictly halachic concern either.
Right. I mean, he's saying, I just proved that it's a mitzvah.
He's just bothered by it. He's uncomfortable with it, maybe is a better way of putting it. But at the end of the day, if you ask me, does Menachem Sinner hold it to mitzvah? I think the answer is yes. But clearly not everyone does. So let me just mention a few other things that that are discussed just to round out tonight's learning, and then we can move on with some other related points next week. First of all, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a discussion of this. And Rabbi Chanan asks the following question. There is a in Kovei Ta'aris. I think it's Siman Yud Aleph, if I remember correctly. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a discussion. There's a Gemara based on a Pasuk. I think the Pasuk is in Mishlei. Avos lo something. How does it go? Right. The crooked cannot be straightened out. And the Gemara uses that as a metaphor for certain averos which cannot be undone. Certain things which can't you really do tshuva for. And the Gemara there discusses the idea of a mamzer. That as long as the child, and Rashi says pretty much explicitly, even thus now this person, Nebuchadnezzar, has travel, charata, and he wants to do tshuva. Okay, you could do, you know, and on many levels, not just the religious one, when there's no child involved, things are a lot easier. Nebuch, when your indiscretion produced a child, things are a lot more complicated on every level. And apparently, says the Gemara, even on a religious level, on some level, Rashi says explicitly, you cannot get tshuva gemura while that child is alive. But somehow you're pretending it didn't happen. Meanwhile, the moms are walking through the street. The moms are getting made fun of in school. So so how are you going to pretend you're going to undo it because you feel bad? There are consequences to certain actions. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So frek Rabbi Chanan. That the Minchas Chinuch seemed to say that the Aveira was only B'shas Maisa, B'shas Bia. But Rabbi Chanan says, one second, the way he wants to read that Gemara and that Rashi sounds like that there's almost an ongoing Aveira, or even Shas Leda is an Aveira because it produces this child.
Because you're not forgiven doesn't mean that there's an ongoing Aveira.
Good, very good. So that's Rabbi Chanan's question. I saw a sefer called Avnei Chain. It's written by a grandson of Rav Yashiv, and he was Machaven Tadidi. And he's not just Rav Yashiv's grandson, he's Rav Zilberstein's son. Rav Zilberstein is a big posek in Bnei Brak, who's one of Rav Yashiv's sons-in-law. Anyway, so he, I think it's Binyamin, I don't remember which one of the sons wrote the sefer, Avnei Chain is the name of the sefer, so he suggests more or less what you were going to say, which is that what the Gemara really meant is that in a chanami, you can't really get a tikkun if you did an aveira that produced a mamzer, but that doesn't mean that every minute it's an aveira. He also quotes that his grandfather, he asked Rav Yashiv, and that Rav Yashiv gave him a different kind of an answer. He said, Mitzvah Baba Aveira means, if we're dealing only in halachic reality, so it means, in essence, is like the Aveira means as if it didn't happen. So you shook a lulav, which you stole, so because it was done through stealing, through thievery, it's as if you didn't shake the lulav. But again, it's like a two-line pithy thing that he quotes from his grandfather. But he says, how can you say that here? The child's running around. Again, you can't make the child go away. The child exists, and therefore, what do you mean? Again, we're not talking about, therefore, it's not an avera. It is an avera, but we're trying to say this extra point that the avera apostles or as mevatel nullifies the mitzvah, that's when you can make the result disappear. But here are the result, which can,
you have a different problem. Every time he does a mitzvah, don't you get sarf yitzvah?
You mean the with benolah choldover? Right. That could be. That's another dimension of benolah choldover. Fair enough. So what I want to point out is that number one is that this Rebbe Elchanan, he seems to disagree with the Minchas Chinuch about the definition of the avera of Arayos / creating a mamzer. But I think he's agreeing with Rabbi Chanan with the Minchas Chinuch about everything else. What he doesn't agree about is the notion of you know, somehow that he thinks there's still an avera going on. That's number one. See, the bottom line is, when you have, let's say, the Minchas Chinuch's Chiddush, right? You fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Urvu with a mamzer, right? You can still fulfill Pru Urvu. So there's two factors here. Everything we've been learning until now, well, let's start with Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch was making implicitly two assumptions. One is the definition of the Isser of mamzer, and one is the definition of how you fulfill the mitzvah of Revu, that being his chiddush, that it's not the ma'isabia, but it's the children. And clearly this, he was assuming, what's the avera? Only the ma'isabia. So came along Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, based on his reading of the Gemara there about Uvos, and he seems to be disagreeing with which part? The definition of the avera on this part. And we, Zilberstein, Didi, said, no, you can defend the Minchas Chinuch, because that seems to be a very difficult reading of this avera. Moreover, we saw before that the Ma'arid al-Ghazi disagrees as well. Now, the Ma'arid al-Ghazi is disagreeing because he said, the Minchas Chinuch assumed that the only way you're not Yotzei the mitzvah, the way only, when do you say that mitzvah ba'avera nullifies? When things are simultaneous. As opposed to if they're separate, like the matzah case, it's okay. But the Ma'arid al-Ghazi disagreed, not so much the definition of what's fulfillment of Puravu, not even with the definition of the Avera. He can agree with Minchas Chinuch and all of that, but the Ma'arid al-Ghazi disagreed with the definition of Mitzvah Baba Avera. Who says only like the Minchas Chinuch? He disagrees with the Minchas Chinuch, but he doesn't. Because he, no. No, but he rejects that that's a relevant factor. The Ma'arid al-Ghazi was saying that even when it's not simultaneous, it can be a problem. Not even if it's not simultaneous.
It could still be a mitzvah.
Correct. Choose. I should be more clear, actually. Okay, look, this is the Avera. There's three factors in the Minchas Chiddush tonight. One is his definition of the Avera. Number two is his definition of the mitzvah. And number three is his definition of the klal of mitzvah haba va'avera. So the Ma'arid al-Ghazi, so the Rabbi Chanan disagrees with him about one. Ma'arid al-Ghazi disagrees with him about three. And I want to mention that, just to round it out, to show you that this is why, you know, the fact that everyone's arguing on him, you know, this is it's a kadosh version of the secular, you know, there's no such thing as bad PR. But there's a reason that the whole world is tumbling about this Minchas Chinuch. It's because this is a market moving Minchas Chinuch. This is a significant Minchas Chinuch. The fact that other people over the millennia disagreed is not surprising, because it's such a provocative chiddush. But just to show you that, when you break it down, there's lots of different disagreements, but they're really disagreeing about different things. The third one, which again is not in the Minchas Chinuch itself, but just to let you know, there were achronim, most notably Rav Yeruchim Fushel Perlau, who I believe was a grandfather even, or not a great grandfather, maybe just a grandfather of the current of the Minsk Rebbe. Perlau is the family; it's definitely the same family. He was a tremendous bucky from about two generations ago, and even more recently, a little bit more recently, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, they both argued on the Minchas Chinuch definition of what? So far, Rav Chanan argued on one. Ma'arid al-Ghazi argued about three. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and they held that it is the Ma'isabiyah that's the mitzvah. The Ma'isabiyah is what's in your hands to do. to have children, as we all know, that's out of your hands.
Yeah, you may have a yotze.
No, but that comes from the famous passage. How can Hashem give you?
Yeah, they asked that. They asked that question.
How could you have that?
Yes. Give me 1 second. Give me one second.
Pause on machine.
The Sefer that Rebbe wrote and gave to him, which is Ha'aruz on the Minchas Chinuch. So there, he has the Lashon, just so we don't have to go find a Perlau inside. He has the Lashon of a Chumash Perlau. He has the Lashon, he says, Svirilei, the mitzvahs kiddushin unesuye isha ein elamitzvahs puravu. What's the purpose of getting married, says the Perlau? It is to fulfill the mitzvah puravu. V'hainu mishum de bekiddushin v'nesuin zehu esek b'pruravu shetziva ha-kosav. Getting married, the process kiddushin nesuin, you're being involved, you're being mitzvahsek in the mitzvah of puravu. The ilu, Didi, that's exactly what you just said, the ilu, lifros ularabos, lo biyat ha-adamhu. To actually have the child, that only Hashem knows. Gemara Tanya says it's one of the three keys Hashem keeps for Himself. The doctors will never figure that out completely. Hashem does the Gemara tests. That's one of the keys. The Inyan HaMitzvah, He Lakachas Isha Mashabiyat Adam Lasos. You got to do what you can do.
I think the language that they, one of the questions they asked me after 120 years is
Asakta. Exactly. Very good.
The mitzvah of
puravu
is just the
sasek,
not to be.
The ain hamitzvah de puravu shulo banim el haesek bepiru yurivya.
What's the whole thing going on? Whether the kid dies or doesn't die.
Very good. That's shver for him. And the second thing is even the Gemara Beishama Beisilal about one boy a bora. So that they discuss explicitly. They say that they try to pull a typical achrenish a two step, and they say that is not a proof in terms of huh. That's the sheer in the effort. Now, do you wonder how much effort you have to put in? How much ASEC you have to do?
No.
That's the amount. That's how we quantify the amount. But we don't mean that it's the result that's the mitzvah. We mean that it's the ma'isaviyah, that it's the effort that is the mitzvah. So if you ask me, the Minchas Chinuch, and I think the Mari El-Ghazi and others, again, because even the Mari El-Ghazi and Rabbi Chanan, they disagreed about these two things. But I would suggest that they really do agree with him about this. Namely, the definition of puravu is the result, not the ma'isa. Again, to me, that's the pashas of all the Gemaras. But it's worth noting that at least a minority opinion out there, Rabbi Pesach Frank and Rabbi Perlau, and maybe there's others I don't know about. Yes, it's a good kasha. It's a very good kasha. Again, but it is a very good kasha. So that's why I think the best line of the whole night was that one I read you from the Minchas Chinuch here in Oshia Dalid. Nira ba'olo de mitzvah zu ena kashar mitzvahs. We're not going to get past that fact that there's something very unique and anomalous about puravu. According to the Minchas Chinuch, there are certain shilas that seem to remain. And if you go the other extreme, like we just read from Rav Perlau, it answers certain things, but then it creates other. You walk in one door, but you kind of they close other doors on you. Because all those Gemaras that speak about how many children you have to have, the life, all that stuff, clearly work better for the Minchas Chinuch than they work for those Achronim. So that's part of the tension. If Rez Hashem will pick up with this next week. Next week we'll see the Minchas Chinuch gets more of in the discussion because he asks on himself and discusses about the sugyas of either A, the one Nebuch, the child who predeceases the parents, and also the question of a ger, a very fascinating question. Do you have a ger who had children while he wasn't Jewish? And then he and they are Magayer. Did he fulfill the mitzvah or not? Then he has no more children. Fascinating question. Yemetz Hashem will work on that next week.
So,